Hello and welcome to the Health for Mzansi podcast. Today we share the fascinating story of Sharon Shirindi, a remarkable individual who is bridging the gap between social work and counseling psychology in South Africa. Sharon's journey began in Atteridgeville, a township in Pretoria, where she experienced firsthand the importance of family support and community bonds. With a background in both social work and psychology, she seamlessly blends compassion, expertise, and her dedication to her work. She emphasizes the crucial integration of these disciplines in addressing the holistic needs of individuals, especially considering socioeconomic factors impacting mental health. Sharon Shirindi, thank you so much for joining me here on the Health for Mzansi podcast. It is an absolute pleasure. Welcome to it.
Thank you so much for having me, Dawn. It's a pleasure to be here.
I usually like to start with growing up years, you know, family, siblings, early childhood memories, anything that you'd like to share from that time in your life.
I think when you're growing, you never anticipate that when you're older, you know, you will look back at those years and realize how precious they were. Just reflecting on my own childhood, you know, it was a beautiful time, really. I'm from Atteridgeville, a township in Pretoria. I grew up with my siblings. I have three siblings. I'm second of four. We are two girls and two boys, and both parents. The issue of having both parents has always been something that I, you know, mentioned with gratitude, you know, recognizing the family dynamics of South Africa with how we have single parent households, child-headed households. So it's always a joy for me to be able to reflect on that and see it as a privilege that I've had, and how having both parents in my life has really anchored me and helped me to develop into the adult that I've become.
I'm hoping to reflect more on your thoughts when it comes to families and family structures as part of your work within social work, but also as a counseling psychologist. And so maybe you can just talk us through some of your work that you did, and also what got you into it as a start to consider social work as a career, and then now transitioning into counseling psychology. Maybe you can just talk us through where it all started for you and a bit of your education journey and schooling.
In high school, I already had an idea that I might go into psychology. But you know, in high school, normally you want to choose a career based on the subjects that you do well in. And I had, you know, your accounting science and economics, and thought, oh, I'll probably venture into a BCom. But I remember we had like your DAT assessments for career guidance and subject choices. My outcome was always that, you know, I would do well in a humanities space. So that's when I started exploring the idea of social work and exploring the idea of psychology. And then I sought mentorship for it, started speaking to people who were in those spaces and developed an interest. So when I left high school, the plan was to pursue psychology. But fortunately, there was another girl from my neighborhood who had studied psychology. And we were having a conversation about what I was going to do after high school. And she mentioned that, oh, I studied psychology undergrad, but I've been struggling to get into the master's program. I'm not sure if you're aware, but until you get into the master's program, you're not actually a psychologist. So she told me about those challenges with how universities take a limited number and how you might struggle to get in. So it would be great if you would have an alternative to psychology and maybe just have it then as a second major or something like that. So with that, then I started to explore other options, and social work was another one because I could see some of the overlapping qualities in both careers. Then I decided to pursue social work instead and then have psychology as a second major, so that should it happen that maybe when I finish undergrad and I can't get into the master's program for psychology, then I would still be able to pursue my people's passion through my career as a social worker.
Speaking to other psychologists on this podcast, that it is a challenge, the amount of years and time spent studying and then your practical work, it comes to almost like 7-8 years, if not more, and the fact that it's so strict in terms of the number of applicants that get accepted. Well done on getting to this point where you're at, because you've now transitioned from social work to counseling, you know, psychologist, And maybe you can share, you know, just more of what inspired this career shift and how it's really shaped your professional journey,
The transitioning from social work to psychology, even as a social worker, I never let go of the dream of pursuing psychology eventually. One thing that has always been valuable for me was mentorship. I've always had wise counsel from people around me that already were working in these spaces. And also when I started working as a social worker, I started to recognize the vast challenges with mental health that exist in our communities. And having been trained as a social worker, I could intervene in some of the things, especially when it came to people's psychosocial needs. But I also recognized that it would be great if I could expand my scope of practice, especially to things that only part of psychology training, like assessment of mental health disorder and diagnosis and long-term treatment, because then you would be working with a particular case and then you would recognize or do like a screening where you see that, okay, there might be underlying issues here that could be more long-term and detrimental for the client. So then that's where I sought my desire to continue to pursue counseling psychology. And I mean, I was fortunate because when I did eventually apply to get into the master's, I did not struggle to get in because I think I only applied at one university. It was the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And then I got in the first time I applied, which I thought of as a great privilege and a great blessing, considering how, like you've mentioned, you know, a lot of people apply multiple times before they can actually be accepted for the program.
And as someone that has worked in both roles, what do you see as the key differences between being a social worker and a counseling psychologist, particularly in the context of South African communities?
I remember one of my lecturers in social work used to say that as a social worker, you do grassroots intervention. We address people's immediate needs, social needs. It's not just about offering therapy and counseling, but also ensuring, for example, if you have a woman that's experiencing abuse or violence in their marriage or in their home, as a social worker, I would also need to assist them with finding a place of safety, ensuring that their basic needs are met at the environment that I would place them. Whereas as a psychologist, then you would go more into assessing and diagnosing if there would be any mental health disorders that have come out of that experience, and then working with them on a journey of treatment through different therapeutic interventions. What I used to like, especially in the social work space, is that you can also connect people to, you know, systems that can address some of those psychosocial challenges. So for example, you would have a child with no identification in the sense of a birth certificate. And as a social worker, you know, it's in your capacity to assist them with that, engaging home affairs and so forth, whereas that wouldn't be part of your role as a counseling psychologist.
Just explaining how the two are different, but also where you found synergies and, you know, where you're able to marry your skills in both aspects to be able to do the work that you do every day. And maybe I can just pick your brain a little bit about how you believe the integration of social workers and counseling psychologists, you know, is essential in addressing mental health needs of individuals and communities within South Africa.
The integration is very important because it's almost as if you can't do one without the other, looking at the socioeconomic factors of South Africa. And if you look at the majority of things that affect people in our population, or looking at issues of unemployment, poverty, and crime, and all of those things that require a multidisciplinary kind of approach in terms of addressing those issues. So what that means in terms of a multidisciplinary approach is that you can't just give them therapy that attends to their mental health, but not considering the fact that this person is still living in a place where they're exposed to so much risk. They are vulnerable in the community that they're in, and intervening in such a way that would also help them address that. So the integration helps you to sort of address the holistic needs of the person, the holistic challenges that they face, that when one professional is dealing with, for example, trying to get the client to be stabilized, to cope with whatever mental issues that they're facing, but you have another who's also trying to ensure that they can be integrated in their community and that they can find a space where they will not be threatened and function better as an individual in society.
Do you have any memorable experiences or even challenges that you have encountered in your journey? I understand that you are still completing your training and that you still have to write your board exam. And, you know, kind of recall some of the work that you've been doing as part of your, internship experience and call on social work. Can you maybe just take us through some of these experiences that really has influenced your perspective on mental health care?
I mean, for me, the first thing has always been the stigma that is attached to mental health care and services related to mental health. Because, you get the privilege to work, especially during training. You don't work in a private setting. You work in settings where community members will have access to your services for free. And then that's where you're able to reach the kind of person you wouldn't be able to reach in private practice, maybe because of limitations like affordability. So what I've then seen is that there's such a gap in terms of knowledge and information, first of all, about mental health. People still find it very difficult to talk about mental health issues because they're stigmatized. And also it's often associated with weakness. So then it becomes hard that, okay, now I'm here in this position where I'm taken to see a psychologist. It means that I'm not coping. It means that I'm not strong enough or that I'm not resilient. So for me, it has always been to see how there's such a lot of misconceptions about issues of mental health. There's also a lot of fear because people tend to think that, oh, maybe if I start seeing a psychologist, then eventually I'll be institutionalized. So I think for me, those are some of the significant things that stand out that I have recognized as challenges that still exist. But I mean, also another thing for me has also been how that also presents an opportunity for you to psychoeducate, an opportunity for you to share information and to bring programs that can make the conscientized society a bit more on these issues. And then people then would start to open up to the service.
The stigma is always something that other experts like yourself highlight when it comes to talking about mental health care. And I think there's so much work that needs to be done around it. But again, just hats off to you for doing this work day to day and dedicating your life to it. Your profile highlights your involvement in facilitating workshops, providing individual and family counseling, doing outreach activities in various settings. How do you navigate the kind of challenges and opportunities that were presented to you by fulfilling these roles and being part of these projects and workshops and the like?
So I feel like for me, with every role that I've had the privilege to work in, is to recognize that I may be a professional trained in as a social worker or a counseling psychologist, where you would term yourself as an expert of that area. But I think in navigating all of these roles, what I've come to recognize is to also gain context understanding of the kind of space that you're going to work in and gain what you call indigenous knowledge. That if I'm going to be doing a family intervention, I'm not coming in as an expert that knows it all, but I'm going into people's lives that are the experts of their own lives. And I'm only coming in as a change agent that can hopefully through those interventions bring some positive change and better functioning within that particular system. So for me, it has always been a thing of to constantly be equipping myself with information and knowledge about that particular space that I would be rendering a service in. And to also do a needs assessment before even starting with your interventions, especially when working in community and doing outreach. Because sometimes we make the mistake of assuming that we know what the community is struggling with and what the community needs. And then you go in and you try to implement a program that you think is relevant to the needs of those people without necessarily doing research about the particular challenges that that community might be facing or that particular institution might be in need of. So I've learned to also do research quite a lot and value reading and even supervision from people who are more experienced, but also even from people of the community. Because as much as we are professionals, sometimes you don't live in that space where you are rendering the services. So it's important to get information from people who are embedded in those settings. And I've seen that also when you do work and intervention in collaboration with the people that you are servicing, it becomes more valuable because they don't feel like they're excluded and that they're just receivers of what you're trying to bring into their space. And then they also feel like active participants of the kind of change that you are wanting to see take place in that particular space.
Absolutely brilliant. Nothing about us without us.
Exactly, yes.
That's the first thing that popped up into my head as you were describing just your work and what you've been doing and also just involving the people that you're working with. I think that's beautiful. And then also just, just looking at your experience again, and I've mentioned this now before, kind of living in both of these areas and working in both of these settings, your work is both in traditional counseling settings, but also, unconventional environments like the Pelobebe Transnet Health Train. Tell us more about that work and what insights you really gained from working in these diverse settings and how you kind of adapted your approach again to the needs of the community and the people that you're working with.
So Pelobebe is a Transnet initiative. So basically, it's a healthcare train that seeks to reach remote communities across different provinces in South Africa. So then what they will do is that they will station the train in one particular community for a given period, say 2 weeks or 4 weeks. And then in that train, the different coaches are divided into different clinics that offer different healthcare services. So you would have an optometry clinic, a dental clinic, a psychology clinic, which is where I worked, providing mental health services, and a pharmacy. So what it does is that it takes these services to where the people are, because normally people need to come to where the service is, in a sense of going into a hospital or a center. But with the Pelobebe train, what it does is that it goes into the community and it's stationed there to make these services a bit more accessible, because the reality is accessibility is still an issue in South Africa, where there's still a lot of communities where people will struggle to see a psychologist. Some might not even know what a psychologist actually does. So working in that setting in that way was very helpful, because now you move from the office and you go into the ground. And one of the things that I've really learned is that sometimes we assume that it's very clear to people that if I'm a psychologist, then this is what I can do, this can bring to you. But sometimes we need to go to people and make them aware of the kind of service that we give, like I mentioned earlier. And what I learned also with initiatives like Pelobebe that are so short term, because, ideally, you would want to have a setup where I'm based in this particular area and I can see a client today and I can see them again next week or next month, and there's proper follow-up and there's long-term intervention that can be measurable. Whereas with initiators like this, it's a once-off thing. Most of the people that I saw there, I only saw them once. And at that particular time, you need to try and give your service in such a way that you can maximize the benefit that they will receive from that encounter, because there's a possibility that they might never see another psychologist again. So it did come with a bit of pressure, in the sense that you don't have the luxury and the privilege of multiple time and opportunities like you would in other settings. But you also then start to learn how to do the most with the least, that, with just the 2 hours that I have, let me try to do as much as I can. They say that every little effort goes a long way. So it's also then challenges you as a professional to see that, it doesn't always have to be conventional, like you're saying, but sometimes it can be a matter of, this is the situation. Let me just try and intervene as best as I can and hope that it was enough, and that hopefully the client will once again encounter another person that can further assist them with the kind of help that they would need.
Sharon, it has really been such a pleasure to be able to talk to you, get some insights into your work as a healthcare professional, both as a social worker and a counseling psychologist. I could probably speak to you all day about all of these various aspects. But I would like to just get some insights into, where do you see yourself moving to in the future? And then if you could also just give some advice to aspiring mental health professionals who are interested, in making a difference in South African communities, considering mm-hmm. the complex intersection of social issues and mental health.
On a personal level, I've just been so grateful to have had the training and exposure that I've had, because we also sometimes take that for granted, but being able to get formal education is still a privilege in our country, especially in most communities. So right now, I think my focus is on getting the board exam done and being registered as an independent practitioner and being able to work in various contexts, including private practice. But my passion is still very much with community development and raising awareness within unreached spaces. And so also not just impart a service, but also development for those who are aspiring. Like you mentioned now, what advice can I give to people who are aspiring? Like, for example, right now, I'm doing a mentorship program for people who are in undergrad studying psychology that wanna become psychologists in the future, a mentorship on what it takes, what are some of the steps to being qualified? What are some of the challenges to anticipate? Because it is quite an intense training. and you do need support as much as you can get. So with that being said, I think what I always guide people wanting to come into the mental health space is that don't walk alone. Don't be an island. You know, seek the counsel of other professionals who are already in the space. Maybe also start by shadowing someone. You know, if you want to be a social worker or a psychologist or a registered counselor or whatever it is where you will see yourself fitting in the mental health space, you know, shadow someone and be exposed to what it is that they might do, even if it's not necessarily you being part of the sessions that they would have, but, you know, just the admin around it and other things that you can be exposed to before going into training. And then also to recognize that people do have challenges, you know, life is not easy, but also people do have in them resilience and strength that can help them navigate these issues that we say we want to help them with. So it's also important to recognize the power of the people. And to also remember that it's not every day that you're going to wake up feeling excited to go and see your clients and everything is all happy and nice. You know, there will be challenging moments. I've had moments where I felt maybe what I'm doing is not enough, where sometimes you also would want to carry the burdens, you know, of society because you feel like it is your duty because you're a mental health professional. But that's not necessarily the case. It's always good to have healthy boundaries and to also use the service yourself. I've normalized also going for supervision, but also seeing a psychologist myself to debrief so that as I look after others, you know, I don't pull from an empty cup, but that I also look after myself so that I can even contribute more to the people that I am serving and working with.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Sharon Chirindi. Your unwavering dedication and compassionate spirit continues to make a difference in the lives of countless individuals and communities across the country. Until next time, remember every small step counts towards building a healthier, more equitable society. Beautiful warm greetings from myself, Dor Numdu, our technical producer Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the hashtag Team Health from Zanzi. Stay inspired. Bye for now.